Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, September 27th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back our friend Holly Shelowitz of NourishingWisdom.com. Holly is here to talk about healthy cooking and eating with foods that give us more energy, help our keep our immune system rocking, reduce our cravings for lousy junk food that sometimes is appealing. Give us a call at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org, or 800-348-2551. Holly wants to talk all about squash today. And in full disclosure, it's been a really long week, and I'm too tired to fight about it. So that's what we're going to do after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday, and today we welcome back Holly Shelowitz. Holly is a nutrition counselor, culinary nutrition educator, and holistic health coach. For over 20 years, Holly's been teaching people how to eat healthier, feel better, harness their body's own preventative and healing powers with food, herbs, and lifestyle. She even taught a guy to fly once. It's amazing. We'll talk about it. Holly regularly teaches community workshops at libraries, farmers markets, and on Zoom. If you have a question about healthy cooking and boosting your health and taste and everything else, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Holly Shelowitz, welcome back.
Thanks, Ray. So great to be back.
How has the summer been?
It's been great. I'm holding on, and I'm also ready for fall.
Oh, yeah. What's been going on? What have you been doing?
It's so interesting how things move in groups and trends. For the last bunch of months, I've been getting lots of calls and doing these workshops in the workplace. So doing workplace wellness, cooking classes, team building, and it's been really rewarding. I've done it throughout my career for all these 25 years, and there's like a new surge of organizations, large and small, who are really aware of the importance of, first of all, bringing fun to the workplace.
Right.
And also education about food, health, cooking, nutrition. There are so many different benefits to that, right? So if I'm doing a cooking class, it's really fun for people to see how the food is made. And then, of course, we get to eat, which is always fun.
Yes.
And then it's also preventative health, right? So a lot of the topics that are being chosen are very similar. How to manage the things that tend to happen when your blood sugar goes up or your blood pressure or high cholesterol and the things that tend to happen midlife and beyond. And so when when the workplace is offering this education, it's beneficial for everyone. They've noticed that there's less sick days when people are taking the time to make some simple, healthy choices.
You know, I find it interesting. The truths and the wisdom that you share have been around a long time. Why the awakening? To what do you attribute the sudden surge of corporate interest in this?
I think that there have been a lot of people who are benefiting from making slight or not so slight changes in their lifestyle and way of eating. And the body responds really quickly. So when we're exercising more, we feel better.
Yeah.
When we are taking time to either cook more or to eat foods that are healthier and less processed, brain fog clears and
really?
Our numbers change.
Let's talk after the show. That's great.
It's true.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Holly Shelowitz is with us today once again after a nice long summer, and it's squash time. Squash today? What's
okay.
up?
Okay, so I want to talk all about the healing foods of autumn.
Okay.
So whether you have a garden or you're visiting your farmer's market or your local grocery that is providing local produce. It's apples and pears and squash and root vegetables. And some people know what to do with all of that. And other people are like, what do I do with this thing?
Yes. Put me in that camp.
And so I want to talk about roasting. And so my oven has been off for months until the weather started to get cooler.
Not at all. You're not baking
oven,
at all?
No.
Really?
Not really. No, very little. Because who wants to get the oven hot and the kitchen hot? No.
Okay.
Even if there's air flowing, it's not. I tend to prefer when it's really hot out, I want like fresh foods.
Yeah.
More crunchy, more salads, more quick cooking on the stovetop.
Yeah.
And as soon as the temps dropped overnight, the scarf came out. The tea is happening in the morning. Roasting
so this week,
squash.
Basically.
And for me, it really seems like it started as soon as the calendar went to September 1st. All of a sudden, the nights in the Hudson Valley, really, the temps dropped. I love it. I truly love it.
Is
warm
it too
days.
Chilly in here for you?
No, this is perfect. And so when we're roasting vegetables, so I brought a butternut squash with,
you cut the head off.
Cut the top off.
Because
I want to show you, and like together we'll be able to describe to people and explain how to actually cut a butternut squash.
Okay.
Because so many people are like, I love it, but what do I do with this thing?
Well, what do you mean? You just get a knife, you cut the thing. No?
Yeah. Have you ever cut those?
No.
Okay, then.
But you obviously already have, so I can see how you do it.
I just cut off, like, the top has, like, this really hard root connection.
Yeah, gotcha.
So I didn't want to be struggling on the air. The stem,
right.
However, and then, thankfully, a lot of stores are also selling them already peeled and cut so that you can open the package, lay it out on your baking sheet, and then pop it in the oven.
Are you okay with that?
I'm okay with that.
Nutritionally speaking?
Fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fresh. And you're going to pay more because they're doing
that.
The work.
Yeah.
But if it's going to get you to eat it and enjoy squash, then yes, I'm all for it.
All right. So that's, what kind of squash is that? Butternut?
So this is a butternut squash. And this one, this adorable
little fella,
is called a honey nut squash.
Huh.
Which kind of has made it onto the scene.
Okay.
I've only seen these in the last few years, but when I started to do some research, because I was like, why am I only seeing these in the last few years?
Yeah.
And it turns out that it was actually a creation between Dan Barber, the chef over at Stone Barns, and another fellow who works at Cornell. And then I thought, uh-oh, is this a genetically modified food? Because they basically paired. It's a honey nut, for those of you who have never seen it. It's like a butternut squash had a baby. And it's like a little mini, very cute.
A toddler
butternut
squash.
But really what I've recently learned is that it's a butternut squash and a buttercup that have been merged. And then I thought, oh dear, is this a genetically modified food? No. So what happens is they take at Cornell, and I'm sure somebody is going to call, hopefully from Cornell. That would be great to shed some light on this. But what I've learned is that they work with the seeds, and it takes a good few years to do this, where the first generation, I think it takes like 8 generations of, if they're like creating something new, for it to actually be
so this is a hybrid
viable.
Of a couple
it's
things.
A hybrid, but it's not a genetically modified
right.
food.
Right. Well, in a way, it's just naturally genetically modified,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So I want to just relieve everyone, if you were worried like I was, that it's a really cool thing that this can be done. And what is also, and you're going to get to taste it, right? And
just don't throw it at me.
Else.
I thought you were about to hurl it across the studio. But don't throw it.
It's so a butternut squash is orange to yellow inside, and the honey nut is a much deeper orange. So there's a lot more beta carotene in there, and it's very sweet. So it's sweeter than a butternut squash. And if you've ever had a buttercup, which is that, It's a green squash, and it looks a lot like a kabocha squash. So I'm calling all the peeps to talk about squash today because it's a whole world.
You know, and what? Then... this is exciting. I got to be honest with you. The squash angle is huge. Let's take a break while I calm down, Mike. 800-348-2551. Holly Shelowitz is here, and she brought her squash. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Lockbox is open at WAMC.org. WAMC.org is our website. And one of the things you can do there is make a pledge. It's a secure online pledge. You know, there is no firewall. All the information we crank out is on that website, and you can see it for free. But if you can support this station, all the better. And you can do that by going to WAMC.org and make your secure online pledge. You'll be hearing a little bit more about the Lockbox over coming weeks. Holly Shelowitz is our guest here on this edition of Food Friday, and the number on this show is 800-348-2551, because who doesn't want to talk about the squash, right? So where we left you, she had cut the head off a squash, and now we're back with a headless big squash and a very kind of a small squash, which is a butter nut.
A honey nut.
Honey nut. Is that how they make the Cheerios?
No, absolutely
no?
not.
No? Okay.
Yeah, good
try. All right,
try.
So where are we?
Okay, so where we are is I want to cut a butternut squash,
okay,
which I'm going to stand up for.
Careful with that knife.
Kind of needs that. So how many of you love squash, but you're like feel intimidated about cutting one? And so one of the things, and then there's the peeling it, because most squash, you can actually eat the peel. And even the butternut squash, when it's roasted for a long enough period of time, the peel gets really soft. However, depending on how you're preparing it, like let's say if you're making a soup, a butternut squash soup, which is so good.
You've done that for this show before,
yes.
And I loved it. Yes.
Then we really do want to peel it, which is a whole to-do. However,
Hang on, it doesn't have to be. I'm raising my hand. Can
okay,
I ask a question?
Raise your hand.
All right, so why don't you peel it and then cut it?
Well, it's easier said than done. You can peel it. You can definitely take a peeler and do it. It's a pretty thick skin.
Yeah.
But here's how I like to do it.
All right.
It's kind
She's got
more
a knife,
of
folks.
A Zen method.
And so this
you
is a serrated
knife. You
want to
make sure
knife.
That your knife, nope, not
no.
serrated.
What are those little dimples?
This is, it's called a Santoku knife, but you can use any good chef's knife.
Okay.
And if your knife is not sharp, please sharpen it. There are stores in our whole listening area where you can, if you don't have your knife sharpener at home, where you can bring your knives and get them sharpened. It makes such a difference in your cooking. Like, cooking can feel like an effort, and then you get your knife sharpened,
yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay.
I feel the same way about the lawnmower. I know, I'm serious.
Yeah.
And so, in the old days, you know, my mom, my dad, they would have a little knife sharpener. It would be in the drawer. Do
yes.
they still sell those little handheld devices?
They do, absolutely. And there's many different kinds. Some people feel uncomfortable or intimidated, maybe in a similar kind of way. And so, thankfully, you can wrap your knives really carefully and bring them to get sharpened.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
All right. So here
cutting,
we go.
You're cutting it.
So you want to have a good, sharp knife and a knife, and then you want to be really safe. So
okay.
I'm holding the butternut squash and laying it down horizontally on the board. I'm holding the back end of it, which is the thicker part. And because I have a...
You
good
can stand
sharp.
Up and do this. You
stand.
Can raise the mic
can
up
I
a
do
little
that?
Bit. Sure.
Okay, great. Yeah, because you want to be like grounded when you're doing
okay.
this. Sitting isn't as easy.
That's
and
a pretty
so,
thick slice. That's
yeah.
much more than I can eat.
I have one roasted for you. It's about the same size.
Okay. So,
and you can't eat this. It has to be cooked.
Oh, you anyway. Can't eat it raw?
No.
Okay. What happens if you do? Do you get really ill?
I don't know if you get ill, but it doesn't... doesn't taste as good or good at all.
Like eating
and
a raw potato?
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
the best idea.
No, no.
Okay.
No, stay away from
Fair
that,
enough.
Ray.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We want to roast it.
Gotcha.
So I am letting my, so I'm taking the squash and yeah. I'm rolling it. It's called, I kind of made this up. It's a rolling method.
Okay. The knife is staying in one spot
exactly.
and you're rolling the squash.
Rolling the squash, letting the knife do the job. No effort
Look
whatsoever.
At you with the squash cutting.
And so what we're left with, everyone, is like a ring, like a round ring.
Yeah.
And I've got one for you to taste. Oh, wait. But then let's say, sorry, okay. not
no,
yet.
It's all right.
Can't
Fine.
Taste it yet.
I know Kathy and Albany's waiting to talk to you, but let's just let's keep going with this.
Let's say you want to peel it because you're going to make a soup.
Yeah.
So here's my favorite way to peel it you just go around the sides. And so what I'm doing, how do we describe this, Ray?
So you're cutting it in little sections with the knife in kind of straight lines as opposed to trying to do the whole circumference at
exactly.
once.
Exactly. So I have the slice flat on the board.
Yeah.
And I'm just taking my knife along the edge and done.
Look at it. Beautiful.
Right?
Great.
And it's like a zen moment, too, because you have to really focus and you don't want to get the squash pulp in with the skin because you don't want to waste that because this will now go into the compost.
You can do. Okay. There you go. All right. So before I dine on the squash, shall we take a call?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Kathy's been waiting a little while here. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Holly Shelowitz is back with her squashes. Kathy in Albany. Kathy, you're on.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for doing this because I absolutely love squash,
cool.
all kinds of squash.
Great.
But here's my question. My mother used to, don't tell customs, smuggle in from Argentina.
Oh, boy.
These seeds for this amazing squash. It was green and white striped, and she would roast and then make a stuffing with the innards and stuff it. But you could eat the skin.
Yeah.
And I have not been able to find, now my mother sadly has dementia, so she can no longer tell me how to find this squash. I'm going to Argentina next year, hopefully, so I might do some smuggling myself.
No,
but
come on.
You know.
All right.
Wait.
Don't tell.
I have the solution for you.
Okay.
I have a feeling. Was it sweet, the squash that you ate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a squash here. It may be the same species. It may not. But it sounds like it's the same, and it's called delicata squash. And it's you're in Albany, so go to the Honest Weight Co-op or any good grocery store that carries locally grown produce. And it's, I don't know, they're usually maybe 4 inches long, yellow with green stripes. And I have some here for Ray
splendid.
To taste.
I get to try
because
them, Kathy.
It is delicious. It has like notes of butter and vanilla, even when it's completely plain.
Even with the skin on.
And that one, skin on, here it is right here. Let me just get this. Closer to the microphone. Here we go. And
would you
skin
look at
on.
That? It's very, very pretty with the stripes and all.
And the stripes, they mellow when you cook it, but it sounds like, Kathy, it sounds like this is, you don't have to smuggle from Argentina, which is probably not the best idea.
Kathy, what do you think the statute of limitations is on that smuggling crime?
Yeah, hopefully over 10 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll be safe. We'll be safe.
Wait, I should separate them.
All right.
So that
thank you. So, thank you so much. I've been trying all sorts of squash, and I haven't been able to find anything that matches. So
oh, wow. Okay, wait. I'm
going to
share
weekend.
One more thing with you, Kathy.
Okay.
There's one. That's the butternut squash,
right? All
right,
10-4. Go ahead. You talk to Kathy. I'll have some
butternut. So there's another one, same family, called dumpling squash. And it's also yellow with green lines, but it's more of the shape of an acorn squash. So it's kind of like a dumpling. So look for those. When in my area, I live in the Hudson Valley, and it's a little tiny bit early. I was able to find a couple, but I think probably in a few weeks, there'll be a lot more at the market.
Hey, good luck, and thanks a lot for the call, and good luck with the smuggling endeavors. 800-323. No, that's the fun drive number. You see what happens, Holly, we have been doing... We've been trying kind of a hybrid approach prior to our October 14th start of the drive.
Yeah.
And so we have been doing little breaks in some of the shows.
Yeah.
The problem is the number is different than this number.
Oh, I see.
And so I, you know, all of a sudden I'm given the fund drive number. So throw a squash at me if you hear me doing that. The number for this show is 800-348-2551. If you want to talk to Holly Shelowitz about healthy eating, squash, or anything in between, and I don't know if there is anything in between, 800-348-2551. While you were talking to Kathy, I tried. Are these all the same?
Those are the same. That's
okay.
The butternut.
Delicious. And so how did you prepare this? I
purposely didn't. I brought maple syrup in case you want.
Don't need it.
I realize you may not want
don't
that.
Don't need it. It's good.
Butternut squash. I sliced the rings and then put a little coconut oil or olive oil. This time I use coconut oil. And then roast them flat at 400 for about 40 minutes. I didn't even flip them.
40 minutes.
And yeah, you want to wait until they're soft. Just like that.
Can I touch the middle of that raw squash or would it ruin it for you?
No.
Okay.
It's hard
so
as
it's
a
rock. Hard. It's like a hockey puck.
Yeah.
It's about the same size.
Basically like a sweet potato, but like, you know, after you roast a sweet potato, it will get soft and luscious.
This is really good. And so there's nothing on that except
on
oil.
There. Yeah. And then this one is the...
Delicata?
Yes. And if maybe we'll share it with your the team here.
All right. Who's the team? You and I are the team. Barb King wants a little taste.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
So now Ray is about to eat the delicata squash. I literally also put just coconut oil. You could use butter. You could use olive oil. I didn't sweeten it.
Oh, I love these.
Isn't that wonderful? Like, I didn't sweeten it. You could certainly always use maple syrup.
Mm.
But it's naturally sweet, and I just wanted you to get a taste of it.
I love the skin on this.
Yeah. And then it's as soft as the inside.
And it's sweet as can be.
So
this is now my favorite squash.
Oh, that's exciting.
Now, to be fair, I've only tried two different kinds of squash.
Okay.
And it was right here. But still, I mean, you know.
Well, now you have a favorite.
No, I love this.
I'm so glad.
In flagrante delicata, right? Is that the name of this?
I only know the delicata. Okay. Delicata. Did you look it up?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Yeah, it's delicata.
I might have said something wrong. 800-348-2551 is our number. Let's go to Babs in Shokan. Babs, you're on.
Hi, Holly. It's Babs from Phoenicia Soap. How are you?
Hey there. I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. I grew a bunch, and I don't even think I meant to, spaghetti squash.
Uh-huh.
And I never know what else to do with that besides throw pasta sauce on it. And I'm tired of throwing pasta sauce on it.
Yeah, I hear that. So I'm going to back up and just let everyone know how to do the spaghetti squash. So spaghetti squash is the big yellow squash, a little bit easier to cut through than the butternut squash. And you cut it in half. You bake it face down on your roasting tray or baking sheet with a little oil or butter, and that cooks in about 30 minutes. And you can poke with a fork at the top, and if it goes in easily, it's ready. Then you pull it out of the oven and you turn it back over carefully. I like to use tongs. And then you take, when it's cool enough to handle, you take a fork and you literally move the fork from the top to the bottom of the inside of the squash. You rake it across.
Okay.
And you get strands of what looks like linguine or pasta.
Yeah. What do you
do with it? And so Babs is saying, like, a traditional way is to put tomato sauce on it. But, oh, wow, there's so many things. So you can scrape the inside out, put that. You can pull it out a little sooner so they're a little crunchier, the strands. And then you can saute with, you can go in a different direction with garlic. Let's see. Let me just think for a second. I'm thinking scallions, grated ginger, and a little soy sauce, and maybe even a little coconut milk. And so you go in the direction of like more of a Thai flavor, then finish it with some chopped cilantro. And so you can do that. You can serve it with or a peanut sauce.
Yes. Yes.
You like that. You like the peanut sauce.
I actually thought of that.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what I'm having for dinner.
All right. That's great. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, I just taught a Thai cooking class last week, and we made peanut sauce, and that is like such an easy and absolutely delicious combo of, let's see, peanut butter, soy sauce, grated ginger, maple syrup, scallions. Am I leaving something out? A little bit of something spicy if you want to add a little sriracha or a little cayenne pepper, and blend it with a little bit of water, and yum.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
What do you think, Babs?
Yum. Okay. I think that sounds terrific.
All right, I want some, neighbor.
Oh, you okay?
Thanks, Holly.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. Holly Shelowitz joins us today. Nick wrote in a while ago, and I forgot about this one. If fruit is generally picked early for packing, does the nutritional content of it change throughout the shelf lifespan?
Good question.
Yeah.
It depends on the fruit, and I'm going to say probably yes. And there are certain fruits that can withstand that. Like, let's say avocado. If we picked the avocado when it was ripe, it would not make it to us. And so I feel like certain fruits and veggies have the ability to withstand some of the storage. Cabbage, carrots. What else? And certainly apples, right? There are some apples. I've already been apple picking a few times. I want you all to go.
What's your favorite?
Macoun.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people like that. Isn't that rare?
It's got a very short season. It's only about 2 weeks, and it comes to fruition on my birthday.
Oh.
So I do that as part of my birthday celebration. It's September 22nd. Yes, it is.
Oh, my gosh. Happy birthday, Holly. What's it like to be 30?
Thank you very much. Oh, life is grand.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now
life
you're
is
really
fabulous.
Becoming an adult. Good for you.
Thank you very much. So those are my favorite, although it's short. So you have to pick them and then eat them pretty soon.
Yeah.
Within a week or two. There are other apples that were at the orchard that weren't quite ready, but the owner said, you know, just pick this and keep it on your counter, and it'll be great in a few weeks. And so there, and even this butternut squash, when you first harvest it, if you have a garden, you're harvesting the squash, but then it has to cure in the sun to really ripen. So I think that your question is so smart, and it really depends on which item it is.
Okay, fair enough. Well, yeah. Nick, thanks for that email. Yeah. Holly Shelowitz is our guest today, 800-348-2551. From Ann in Bonsville, my favorite regularly available winter squash is kabocha. Coconut squash? Coconut? I'm not sure. K-O-G-I-N-U-T?
Okay.
I don't know how to say it, but there you go. And thank you for that, Ann in Bonsville. I had coconut squash a couple years back from the co-op I shop at, and it was scrumptious. Do you know this squash? I wonder if you might also know if it is genetically modified or a hybrid. I'm hoping they may have it again. But so far, only that 1 year did I find it.
I do not know that squash, and I know a lot of squash, but I've never heard of it. I would Google that and see what comes up. And we can't ask her, right? So what?
No, we can't.
I'd love to know details if you can.
Well,
write
you can
in
write
again.
Us back if you want. Ann's a regular correspondent on this
show.
Holly Shelowitz is our guest. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. What's that?
That one is the honey nut, and this is the little one.
Yeah. Okay.
And
what do I do? Is there anything I need to do?
You just eat it.
Okay.
And I didn't put anything on it. This is also similar. I just cut it in half, scraped out the seeds.
Yeah.
And then bake it flesh side down.
That has a different taste.
Yes. It's
how do I describe that one?
Mm,
compared to the delicata.
This is much more rich.
It has almost
thicker.
It's not savory. It's still sweet, but I can't.
Yeah,
describe
it's like a more dense texture than the delicata.
Yeah. Could you make desserts with these?
Absolutely.
Yeah, what would you do? A pie, like a pumpkin pie?
You could put that in a blender with a little maple syrup, a little salt, and you could if you're eating dairy, you can use butter and heavy cream.
Yeah.
Or if you are not, you can make a cashew cream. Don't look at me that way.
I love cashew cream.
With a little cashews, water, maple syrup. You blend them together in your blender, raw cashews, and some vanilla extract, and you get this like creamy, rich, delicious, really, it's kind of like what it would be, a thicker version of whipped cream, and it's divine. It's very rich. And so you can make a parfait with the pureed sweet squash, one layer, the cashew cream, next layer, squash, next layer, and some toasted pecans on top.
I'm not sure I'm buying it, but...
oh, it's amazing.
Really,
I've
it?
Done it, and people flip out.
All right, let's take a quick break here, and then we'll get back to the phones. Holly Shelowitz, the one and only, is here just after her birthday. She came all the way. 800-348-2551. We'll be back. Box Pop on WAMC. The lockbox is open. WAMC.org. We need you. You help us keep this station alive, and we need your help. 800-348-2551. The fund drive opens up on October 14th, and if you want a short drive, you will fill that lockbox right now. Let's go to Peter in Albany. Peter, you're on with Holly Shelowitz.
Hi, thanks. So the caller about spaghetti squash, somebody once gave me a giant spaghetti squash, and I did it right, and it was great for a pasta substitute. But they're not around anymore. And I went to the store after that, and they were like, I don't know, $1 a pound or whatever. And they weighed like 8 pounds. So I thought it was going to be a cheap way to have spaghetti, but it's very expensive. But so what do you do? They weigh too much for the spaghetti you get. So what?
Oh, we got to turn that mic on.
Season somewhere?
Hey, Mike, can you turn on the mic for Holly?
Hey.
There we are.
My
that's okay,
yeah.
Buddy.
Look for the look for smaller ones if that's a concern. I think that's the only solution, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do the markets, I mean the outside markets, tend to have them all for?
You know, I don't...
Do you ever go to the grocery store?
I do. No, I go to farmers market, co-ops, and regular grocery.
Okay.
You know, Adams and
right.
So many great stores.
Gotcha.
I haven't seen them yet at the farmers market. It might be a little early. So I think I would say, depending on where you're calling from, Albany, I mean, you have that Troy Farmers Market, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Delmar Farmers Market. And,
yeah, so many.
Yeah. All right, thanks. I'll look around.
Sure. All right, man. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. Let's go to Hannah in Monterey, Massachusetts. You're on with Holly Shelowitz.
Hi, Holly.
Hi there.
So my mom has a compost pile, and every year she has what we call volunteers.
Yeah.
Typically a lot of tomatoes and things like that. And always pumpkins, butternut squash, delicata, and then the little decorative gourds. But this year she has, these interesting looking butternut squash, butternut-like looking. They resemble butternut squash in color and shape, but they're super, super round, like they crossed with the pumpkins. Have you ever seen something like this?
Oh, that's very interesting. And the skin on the outside is smooth, not bumpy.
Yeah, it's smooth. It's the same color, and there's no ribs.
Interesting. Well, you might have a really cool creation donated by the divine in your compost pile. Have you tried it yet?
Yeah, and the pumpkins that are up there, they're not pie pumpkins.
Uh-huh. Oh, interesting. So that it may not be so sweet if they somehow cross pollinated. I would say,
right.
Like, do you have butternut squash that you're also growing in the garden?
She does.
I would say whenever the butternut squash is ready, cured and ready, will be when this one would be cured and ready. And I say cured, you know, leaving it out in the sun after you harvest it.
Yeah.
Then
okay.
I would give it a go. I would roast it.
Is there any
treat
danger
it like...
that it could be poisonous? I mean, we don't know what it is. Is there any danger
yeah,
here?
Yeah, well, we sort of do because we have been trying to come up with a name. I like hers. She came up with Butterumpkins.
Butterumpkin.
Well, to answer Ray's question, though, we don't really know,
we don't
I
know.
Suppose, because you also are getting volunteer gourds. But I think you'll know when you cut it open, because a gourd, it just, like, won't give you anything. I don't think there's flesh
if
it's a gourd. But I would say tread lightly. But it sounds like a really fun volunteer.
Tread lightly and cut carefully.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What about Franken squash? I mean, that would be a good name, yeah?
Good luck with that. Let us know. Would you message me and let me know how that goes? I'm curious.
All right, Hannah.
Okay.
If you live, call us next time, all right? 800-323. Nope, that's the fun drive number. 800-348-2551. Holly,
okay.
All the squash in Hollyville will not make me any less tired right now. I'm
not
joking.
Oh, my gosh. I hear you. And the fun drive hasn't even officially begun.
Going to need a lot of squash leading up to
that. Okay, so I have something else.
What do you got?
Maybe that'll help.
All right.
So, you guys, have you ever roasted apples?
Sure.
And went savory with them?
No.
With rosemary?
No.
So prepare your taste buds.
All right. I love rosemary.
Okay. So I roasted apples, some from a dear friend's tree, and some rosemary in some olive oil, and he's raising his hand. We have a winner.
Fantastic.
It's kind of like a sweet, savory sensation.
It almost has a hint. It almost tastes like grapes.
Wow.
Try
okay.
one.
We
Holly,
all have
try
to have
try one.
One
of the things. I'll read a couple of emails here. 800-348-2551. We'll get back to the phones in a moment. Garrett wanted to know, is it healthier to use olive oil or coconut oil when cooking?
I'm chewing.
What do you think?
Did you get a
grape essence to that?
And the apples that I chose are a little on the tart side.
Yeah,
and
love
then
it.
There's a little hit of rosemary. Yum.
Yeah,
I
so
love
good.
It.
So good.
Totally love it. What was the question?
You got to follow along, Holly. Is it coconut oil or the other oil safer?
You know what? They both have, for roasting, you can go in either direction. I would say you just never want any of your oil to smoke. So when you're cooking on the stovetop with either coconut or olive oil, you want to keep it at a medium temperature. If your oil starts to smoke, turn off the heat, wipe out the pan, wash the pan, have a do-over.
Okay.
Because that's really when it becomes an unhealthy thing. Yeah, so both are really good. Coconut oil has a good high heat point, and because it's solid, I tend to melt a little bit of it in a pan and then toss. That's what I did with the apples. I tossed the apples with it.
Okay, Ann followed up, who says, I took your advice and learned coconut squash is a hybrid of kabocha and butternut.
Oh, wow.
It looks like butternut shape and a little darker in skin color, but if you put a heavy weight on the butternut and squished it down while it grew, it also has ridges like acorn or carnival squash. I'm getting hungry listening to the show today. Here's a picture that you can see.
Oh, good. I want to see that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't that nice?
Oh. Oh, that's, I did
lovely.
See that. You know what? Adams has this. Wherever you're calling from, Ann.
Bonsville, Mass.
Oh, okay. Well, come to the Hudson Valley. but this is, if they have it, then other growers are growing it. And it's delicious. It's sweet. It's orange on the inside. It's interesting. I didn't picture this when you were describing it, so I'm so glad you wrote back again.
Cool.
So for everybody else to see what this looks like, it's a deep orange flesh. It's kind of like a acorn squash shape versus a long squash. And then it's orange on the outside with elongated
Correct.
Lines.
800-348-2551. We'll get right back to the phones with the great Holly Shelowitz here in a moment. Susan in Sunderland wrote in, please repeat the ingredients for the peanut sauce slowly.
Okay. And, of course, I don't have measurements right here. I can put that on my Facebook page.
Nice.
Okay, so peanut butter. I like smooth. Some recipes say you can use crunchy or smooth. I go for the smooth in this recipe.
Yeah.
Soy sauce, mm-hmm. maple syrup, ginger, scallions, something spicy, if you like that.
So like, what, like sriracha?
Or
what
could be sriracha, okay. Or it could be a tiny bit of cayenne pepper, oh. Or a tiny bit, like, powdered.
Yeah.
Tiny, though, because that's some heat. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Oh, a little lime. Little fresh lime if you're going in a Thai direction.
Okay.
Some recipes will call for rice vinegar, or I like the lime instead of the rice vinegar. And I would say play with those.
Season to taste.
Yeah.
All right, Susan, who loves this program on squash, it was Holly's idea, and I didn't even know about it until right before the show. Susan also writes, what do you do with kombucha?
Oh, okay. So that's another one that's kind of a bit of a workout to cut. So kombucha is green, and it's round. And so you want to take the point of your knife and dig it in there carefully. There are seeds on the inside. There are seeds in all of these. And same kind of thing. You can either, I would say when you cut it in half, it's still quite thick because they tend to be on the larger side. So I would cut them in thick strips and coat them with a little olive or coconut oil, lay them out on a baking sheet. And I like to take some parchment paper, put it under water,
yeah.
crumple it up, so that it's wet and not dry.
Yeah.
And then you open the parchment paper and cover the squash for the first 20 minutes of roasting. I would keep the oven at 375. And after about 20 minutes, pull off the parchment so that... And what the parchment does is it's creating a little... an area so that the squash can really get warm on the bottom and the top.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you're roasting squash just from the top or just from the bottom, that's the part that will cook and then it could get burned or
yeah.
still stay uncooked on the inside.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Could you nuke them?
Oh.
No, you wouldn't want to
microwave?
I
suppose you could. I don't know.
You seem so disappointed and sad. Oh, my God. You know, these microwave ovens have been around a while.
I know. I'm an old-fashioned girl.
It's not a satanic creation.
I don't even know. I mean, I know.
You don't have a microwave?
No, never have. Never lived with one.
You know what? You're something, you're a little different.
That's for sure, and I thank you for that.
Nate writes in, I love doing acorn squash with maple syrup Thanksgiving. Mm. Do you know any other recipes for acorn squash?
Okay, so here's my feeling about acorn squash. I have feelings about it. So I gave up on acorn squash because there were so many times that I cut one open that it was blah and not sweet. And I was so bummed buying it, roasting it, taking the time, and then it has no taste.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear that you love them and that you're finding sweet ones. You know, maple syrup and squash go so beautifully together. So you're asking for way to rock the squash. Yeah. Let's see.
Well.
What about some apples and dried cranberries?
Yes.
That you saute and put in the middle of.
Some walnuts
like
in
when
there.
And walnuts.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
We've got this, Holly.
We got this.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. Harlan in East Greenbush has been waiting a while. You're on. Go ahead.
Apples and
oh, can you turn the radio down just a wee bit there, friend? Just pot it down for a second, Mike, while Harlan is waiting. So, Harlan, when you hear this message in about 8 seconds, could you just turn the radio down a little bit? Oh, boy. Harlan. Is, all right, that's it. Harlan. Is, Harlan nodded off.
Okay.
And, you know, frankly, I don't know why. Let's go to Charles in Coxsackie. Charles. Oh, by the way, go ahead, Charles. Yeah, you're on.
My question is about patty pan squash.
Yeah.
Patty I had pan it years squash. Ago. Okay. Patty pan squash. Right. Yep. It looks like a mushroom ruffled. We boiled or steamed it. But we peeled it.
No
and
need.
By the time we got done peeling it, which took most of the meat away from the actual squash, there wasn't much left.
No.
Do you have to peel it?
You do not have to peel it, and you can cook it any way that you would prepare zucchini. So the squash that I've been talking about today, all these different ones, are considered hard squash or winter squash. Patty pan.
Right.
And zucchini and yellow squash are more like summer squash, and they're softer.
Uh-huh.
You can absolutely eat the skin. I'm sorry you had to go through that. It's a really cool shape. It's like a round bottom, and they're wonderful. And you can slice it,
chop it,
and saute with some onions, garlic, and salt, and you are ready to go.
All right, Charles, thanks a lot. I believe we have Harlan back. Hopefully Harlan has turned the radio down and is present. Hello there, Harlan.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, go, man, go.
I'm sorry. I stepped in and out. I'm looking for a great French onion soup recipe. I love it to death.
No. Oh, well, you can say it if you don't have one.
I don't have one.
All right, fair enough.
Would say, yeah, it's not one that I've, that it's not a soup that I've made.
Are you an onion person?
Such an interesting soup. There was a restaurant that I went to growing up that had the best French onion, where it's like you make this lots and lots of onions and a soup broth base, and then there's bread, and then you melt cheese on top. I've never made it, though.
Okay, sorry.
But the web will provide you with everything you need.
You know what we like nowadays at our house is Vidalia onion pie.
Whoa.
It's so blasted good. It's crazy. Yeah.
Talk to me.
Well, I wish I knew the...
Okay, we have to ask one of your people.
Mrs. Graff might have the recipe, but it's really good.
Wow.
All right, let's go to Barbara in Sheffield, Mass. Barbara, you're on.
Hello, Barbara again in Sheffield calling. Oh. Love your show, Ray.
Oh, thanks.
I'm salivating over the rosemary and apple roaster.
So good.
Could you tell me about how many apples you put in? Do you cut them up? And how much rosemary?
Well, let's see. For today, I cut maybe 3 or 4 apples in slices. I did not peel them. I'm like a really low maintenance chef, and that's what I love to teach people how to do in all of my classes and workshops, that it does not have to be complicated. So I used, I just sliced the apples, kept out the core, and tossed it with some melted coconut oil. And I had maybe, let's see, so let me, if I had 4 apples. Rosemary, when it's either fresh or freshly dried, has some potency. It's got great flavor. So I didn't use that much because I didn't want it to be overpowering.
And it's not. It's perfect.
Oh,
so good.
Yay.
Yeah.
So I just used 2
chopped up.
Tablespoon
chopped up. Yeah. Yeah. And you could always go a little less and then roast it, and then you can add more. It's a little trickier if it's like too strong, and then you have to figure out what to do.
Good point. We're almost out of time here, Holly Shelowitz. If people want to get in touch with you or they want to check out what you're up to, how do they do that?
Wow, that was so fast,
Ray.
That
was a fast show. Gosh. A lot of squash consumed on this program, I got to be honest.
Okay, so my website is nourishingwisdom.com. Facebook page, Facebook and Instagram, Holly's Nourishing Kitchen. I just put a bowl of something in front of Ray that I didn't tell him what it was.
No, I like it.
And
if it's kale, you're out of here.
It's not kale. All right. It's cauliflower rice. And
I like it a lot. I like that a lot.
Awesome.
But don't ever quote me on that. Hey, listen, we're done here. By the way, Barb King, our screener.
Yeah.
Genius, by the way, says, always nuke spaghetti squash. It's too hard to cut when raw.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I just learned something new.
You guys can fight it out. The show's over. So thank you very much. The support comes from Broad and Taylor, North Adams, Massachusetts, makers of bread baking tools and equipment for listeners' home kitchens, recipes, and more information at Broad, spelled B-R-O-D, and Taylor.com. Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County, fellowship-trained orthopedic and spine specialists serving the Mid-Hudson Valley for over 45 years. OrthoADC.com to learn more. And Delmar Farmers Market, their 16th season, providing local and organic produce, prepared foods, and fair trade crafts, Saturdays from 9 to 1 at Bethlehem High School, 700 Delaware Avenue, DelmarMarket.org. All right. I did all that with just a little bit left of the cauliflower rice in my mouth. So it was all right, right? Did it sound okay? Thanks again to Holly Shelowitz for being here. Thanks to you for listening and for the calls and the emails. Thanks to Mike Bowen, our engineer. Barb King screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. It's the weekend. We'll see you Monday at 2.